On this week's show,
I talk about The Walking Dead, or more correctly, the why isn't he dead?
Funny how a little holy shit, somebody's gonna die lights a fire under everybody's ass.
And I talk about Lost in Space again.
Gonna beat you with this one.
Far Cry 5!
Stay tuned.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geeks, and zombies alike. People who are lost in space. People who are lost in Montana. People who think they have superpowers, but they don't. They just got a fucking boat. People who are astronauts. People who are cosmonauts. It's this week's Monkey Nap Hunt Podcast. And as always on these podcasting journeys, the anus of humanity, it's Keith. Say hello, Keith.
You're such a twat.
I know.
Hello.
You were like kind of, hang on a second, that's not what we agreed.
And I was so sure that was going to be me.
Ruins it. I told you. And as promised last week, it's the return. It's the one. It's the only. It's the moly. It's Nigel.
Womp.
Hi.
And my dog's excited.
He's excited.
My dog's really excited. My dog, shut up. You're on the radio.
Okay, gentlemen, how are we doing? How are things?
Dog. Well,
apart from you've got your yapping dog.
I think my dog wants to come in on and think, sorry, people, this is really professional.
Yes. Okay.
Well, he hears you yapping on each week, so he wants to have a go.
I could do that. The dog's going, I could do that. It's easy. Oh, dude, just talk about what I like. There we go. Oh, it's in a hoodie. In Thailand, in the heat. That's just fucking cruel.
You're in Thailand, it's bloody hot, and he's in a hoodie.
RSPCA would have fucking sent you down for 10 years, mate.
My dog is in a hoodie because it's cold inside.
You can't chav him up.
Chav him up. Okay, all right, so let's crack on with this one. We're going to be talking about The Walking Dead. We're going to wrap up Lost in Space because me and Keith have finished watching it. I'm going to wrap up Far Cry because I finished watching that. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Avengers, all the pre-stuff that's coming out. I want to talk about The Expanse because it's fucking awesome. And then we have a mystery announcement. I wonder what that could be, guys. Even though you've read the show notes, we all understand each other.
No.
So, Nye, do you want to talk about The Walking Dead and the end of the whole war with Negan?
Did they kill him?
Let me preface this, yeah? The whole thing just fucked me off. I was able to drop a nuke on the whole thing and just have it shut down.
Yes.
So,
yes, I thought you'd share my sentiments.
Just drop a nuke on it. Nuke the site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
That's
a reference.
I know it ends on a bit of an anticlimax and also a bit of rebellion going on by his most trusted, by
yes.
Rick's most
so
trusted.
Let's just recap what happened in the episode, just really briefly, if we can just, you know, pop it together. Because there was one bit that I called when I was watching it with my wife, and she was like, really? And I went, yeah.
Is that the bit with Eugene and the guns?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, it was a bit with Eugene and the guns because he said that he could rush them out, and the only way he could rush them out was to fuck them up.
Yeah.
Because he said he couldn't do it before, and then all of a sudden he can do it, and it's like... And then they kind of did the child Chekhov's gun thing with the, here's a bullet that's made incorrectly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't not show that and it not have a consequence later on down the line because everyone feels cheated.
Yep.
So it was fucking obvious to me. I'm not sure about other people.
Well, yeah, I honestly thought that was going to happen with Eugene. Eugene played it pretty cool, although I know when he gets into tricky situations, he does tend to sweat a fucking buckload. he can't hold it together sort of thing. You know, a bit like when Keith's got a new toy, he starts bouncing around and his arms start flapping. Eugene just starts to sweat bucket loads and he can't fucking contain himself. And Although he did really well when he was like, here you are, Mr. Negan. Here's the gun. And it's got some bullets in that I've made. Look how good they are. And he's even he even put a straw bale with the word Rick and in a t-shirt on it, you know?
I thought it wrote prick on it.
No, it said Rick.
I'm sure it read prick.
Maybe it was folded. I don't know. So, yeah, I thought, okay, that bit was all right. But yet again, another thing that knocked me off is what's knocked me off throughout this whole season and the previous was the amount of fucking people Negan suddenly had at his disposal after being almost wiped out. Well,
but this is a funny thing. They were the last. They'd killed off like 180 people, and these were the last 180 people that he had at his disposal. And, it's like, and yeah.
They were all on the hill. They all appeared, which was very Zulu of them. You knew that was going to happen, didn't you? As soon as they came out into that hilly area, you knew the whistle was going to come, and they suddenly all appear on the hilltop, and you thought, oh shit, there is a lot of them. Where the fuck has they got these people?
Did the Cockney guy turn up and go, don't throw those bloody spears at me?
No.
Oh.
Unfortunately, it didn't. I'm sorry, man. No, there's no Michael Caine or Michael Caine-esque person in that.
No.
What I found really funny was, they were surrounded, and in that situation, I was saying to Tanith, it goes, retreat to the tree line.
Yeah.
Get to the tree line. Walk back slowly, walk back to that fucking tree line, because as soon as you get to the tree line, there's lots of trees there to fucking hit before there's people.
Yeah.
Yeah. All you have to do is just march back slowly. And if they're in the trees, you can take them one-on-one, yeah? You can't take them on a field, especially when they've got the high ground.
Yeah.
But hey.
But, No, I thought exactly the same thing. And they clearly only got them to stand out in the middle of a field to make it a bit more dramatic.
Yeah.
That was literally the only reason why they did it. There was no... I can't imagine why Rick or somebody in his group wouldn't have said, get back to the trees. Because he couldn't see them. He had a megaphone. He was, you know.
Yeah.
So he was behind the hill. And so they could sort of see them. I reckon if, for example, Rick and that started slowly walking backwards, like step by step, they weren't that far away from the trees.
Yeah.
30, 40 metres, not that far. A metre every step. The amount of time that they were yapping on at each other. Anyway, Eugene came of age and he did his thing. He sabotaged everything, and that was great. I like the fact that he did that. And then he apologised to Rosita for puking on her, which she looked at him and just promptly gave him a smack in the face.
Lamped him one.
Deserved that. Boom. He goes, yes, I deserve that.
Yeah.
Yes, you did, you prick. So, yeah. Now, I don't know. Are you
before
annoyed?
We go on to Negan,
yeah.
Can we talk about the fishy women?
Yeah.
I'm going to call them the fishy women. Because they were at Hilltop, yeah?
They were
about to get fucked at Hilltop. I didn't understand this, yeah? Hilltop's got a giant set of fucking gates. They're pretty much the only way in and the only way out. So what are you doing in a situation
really,
like that?
Really tall wall made of steel.
I think it's made of wood there.
Is it? It looks like steel in places.
The kingdom's the one where it's made of stone and steel, which is a much better fucking wall. But we'll talk about construction tips later.
Yeah. It's probably just the way it looks, but I didn't understand why they left. They go, oh shit, there's people outside. What's the best tactic when you're in a fortified place? Well, go outside.
Give up your fortification.
Forget the fortification, yeah. Let's go outside.
This is the other thing. With castle designs, yeah, what you can do is you can create a keep. Yeah, so you can create an area where if they do come in, you've got them, they're like fish in a fucking barrel. Yeah, you let them creep into there and you can...
That's it. Keeps are like that. They've got that outer ring and then they've got this massive gap, this area.
Double doors. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got this double door. But then usually once you get past that gate and you get into the keep, actually, there's another keep inside. There's another set of walls another set of gates, and the castle itself is behind that one. So you usually got the outer ring, the outer wall with a gate, and then you've got an inner wall with a gate, and then you've got the castle and stuff. And usually it's where people, they get, I don't know, false sense of security when they're taking a castle. They think, oh, yeah, we're fucking in.
Breach the door,
pass, it throws
the first
out.
Set of doors, guys.
You're only through the first set.
And then you've got archers all up along that fucking thing there, firing down upon them.
You've got them. Then
oil.
You've got,
oil's you've got a oil. Big thing for them.
Yeah.
Love burning oil. It's like, dude,
they loved it.
Have you and not watched any castle films?
Yeah. But, you know, they could have done a bit of, I don't know, Recce before doing that. That pissed me off, the fact that they all left in order to save themselves. They left a fortified place in order to say, I'm sorry, that pissed me off. Right, that's another thing they've got wrong. Although I do like the fact that some of those survivors, are they called? Fucking.
What, the fishy women?
No.
The hilltop guys?
No. They
saviors?
The saviors, yeah, not survivors. The saviors, they took a shine to the hilltop, a few of them, led by that one bloke who seems to have a thing for Maggie. And he's like, if you don't mind, I'd rather like to stay. I'd rather like to help you out, et cetera, et cetera. And he seems genuine.
Yeah, he does seems, seem genuine.
Because usually they do show you something if he's not. So he seemed genuine and wants to help, and she trusted him, and they sort of came good. Well, Tara trusted him, dropped a load of guns for him and his mates, and they helped out.
Yeah, because it was a case of, like, kind of, what we got to fucking lose, seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we're outside of our fortified location. What have we got to lose?
Yeah, Dicks. What have we got to lose? Our fortified location.
Our fortified location that we've left open and ready for them to take.
But then, dickheads. And then we had the fishy women. They petrol bombed the shit out of them, which was the right, to be honest with you, was one of the tactics I was yelling at the screen as I was watching. So it just turned into like watching a fucking Liverpool game for me, where it's a case of it's like set them on fire. Yeah, you want to bottle them in, you want to set them on fire. Yeah, the trick is you set the rear ones on fire. Yeah. While you're shooting at the front ones, and then after the rear ones are clearly on fire, you set the front ones on fire, and then they are fucked. Not that I thought this through with any degree.
But yeah, you hit them in the rear, which makes them come towards you, but you're shooting at them. So they're going, oh shit, we need to go back. And then as they turn, their mates are on fire, and then they go, fuck, we can't go back.
So this is what I said to Tanith, because I watched it, and it gave me the impression that the whole final confrontation, we'll get to in a moment, was going to happen outside the hilltop.
Yeah.
And I thought, Negan's technically fucked himself by sending Rick and the armed lot out on patrol, because what will happen is Negan and his lot will turn up at the hilltop, they'll start attacking the hilltop because it's a fortified location, they're not going to be able to go any further. Rick's guys are going to come in from the back and crush them up against the hilltop, which is like really terrible tactics.
I was trying to listen and trying to understand what he was saying to Gabriel about his plan and how his plan was meant to work. I know he set him up by saying, we're setting up a ambush points in this location around the hilltop. And he also said that the first one was going to be here, and that's where he was going to be. So obviously Rick and everyone was going to go for that location. However, I couldn't see where his plan was. Was he going to ambush them en route to that location, which I believe they did.
I think that was the case, yeah.
Because they took him at that...
Looks like case.
Yeah, they took him at that hill location, didn't they?
Yeah. It's one of those things. It was odd. It kind of didn't make too much sense. Anyway, let's get on to the final confrontation, because I made you skirt around it.
Yes.
And we've got that final confrontation between Negan and Rick. To which Rick didn't say what I thought he was going to say. Is that a knife at your throat just before he fucking guts him like a fish? Which I would have preferred.
Yeah, but hey, I thought that was going to be it. As soon as Rick shot at Negan and he hit the glass and it fell on the floor, I thought, they've made a thing of that. He'll use that for some because obviously Rick can't shoot anything when it comes to people. He can shoot zombies from 100 miles, headshot first time every time. But when it comes to shooting people, no. None of his team can.
It's a bit like Keith on multiplayer.
Yeah.
You get pissed off at me at Destiny for shooting everything. You shot everything. Yeah, that's the idea.
The idea is to kill those things, Keith.
Kill the things.
Oh. Yeah.
Bastard. The shit I got off of you for killing the bad guys. It's part of the game.
Yes, but leave some for the rest of us, you bastard.
I thought that was it. As soon as he stood up and he sort of tricked Negan into getting a bit close, because Negan had Lucille with him, he tricked him to getting close enough for him to slash his throat with the pane of glass. I thought, do you know what? I'd be happy if it ended there. End of Negan. Yeah. He's no longer got out of anything, wiggling his way out, because up until that point, everything he'd managed to wiggle out of everything. And he even makes mention to that, I think, during this episode. He goes, yeah, that he said it to somebody. There, don't worry.
Oh, yeah, it was like, I've had all these close scrapes. I'm going to win because I've had these close scrapes, and if something bad was supposed to happen to me, it's a sign of a megalomaniac. And don't make any comments about me, Keith.
Yeah.
Thinking the universe bends around them.
And do you know what?
So,
considering what Rick and Michonne chose to do at that point, he was right. He's got out of it.
Mm.
He has got out of it. Because he's going to be locked up in a cell. Now, I haven't read the comics, but I believe that's what happens, isn't it? He gets locked up in the comics. Him,
and he spends loads of time talking to Carl.
Yeah.
This is why I thought they were going to kill him off. I was hoping they're going to kill him off because I was a bit. The Saviour's fucking ridiculous comeback from the all out assault that they received.
Yeah.
Has driven me up the fucking wall. It really has.
Yeah.
And I was hoping if they would have, the reason they killed Carl off was the fact they were going to kill him off.
Yeah.
And then they had the opportunity to turn Rick into the bad guy. Yeah, and then you could have had the rest of the season of The Walking Dead as Rick slowly becomes the bad guy and makes Negan look fucking pale in comparison.
It's going
to
be
especially magic. After what he did to the guys when they were stuck with the herd. Do you remember that?
Oh, in the cafe Morgan. Place.
Yeah, and he fucks all of them.
Yeah, they let him out, and then he double crosses them and just starts shooting the fuck out of them, along with Morgan.
The new bad guy for season 9 is a bad woman.
It's a bad woman. Is she the head of the Commonwealth?
It's Maggie.
Is it Maggie's contract hasn't been renewed yet?
Yeah, she's the bad. She's heavily rumored to be the baddie because.
But the next story is supposed to be the Whisperer story about the people who dress up as zombies and
also going to bring Maggie. Maggie's going to find out that Negan's still alive, and she's going to go batshit crazy.
Well, like, no, she's already knows. Negan's still alive. Because you have Maggie, Jesus.
Daryl.
They didn't have Awesomeish there. I can't remember my favourite character now. Who's the mum? The fucking indestructible mum who's like Rambo.
Carol.
If they had Carol there, then Negan's dead. But they didn't. Because she would have found a way. She wouldn't have cared either. And that's the kind of nature she is. She would have finished him off.
Yeah,
in the most gruesome way possible.
I still don't understand why he's done that, because I don't understand the mentality of Rick, because they've literally changed his whole mentality on its head just for that one plot point.
Yeah,
just so they can keep this whole thing going on. Negan thing is done. But what it's done is it's turned Maggie and the rest of his loyal crew against Rick and Michonne, because they mentioned both of them by name.
Yeah.
And they don't say what they're going to do, but they said they've had enough of him and her.
Yeah.
That's how it ends. So.
Yeah.
I'm not overly enamored by it.
I'm not. Apparently there's supposed to be a place called the Commonwealth in it, like in in Fallout 4.
Right.
You play Fallout 4, haven't you?
Yeah.
The Commonwealth in Fallout 4, where there's supposed to be like 50,000 survivors.
Right.
It's supposed to be like a huge number of survivors up north near, yes. I think it's in the same bloody place in Boston.
Okay.
But that's one thing that they could touch on. Okay, that's cool. Time to get lost in space, Keith.
Lost in space.
I haven't seen this.
You haven't seen it? I recommend it.
Is it on Netflix?
Good. Yeah.
Yep, it's on Netflix. It's good. I enjoyed it.
I should take
There's a few dumb bits in it, but it does such a good job. You don't think too much about the dumb bits.
The family itself is good. The baddie is shit.
No, hang on. Hold on
She's
a second.
Shit. Right.
No. Stop. All right. Because as I said before, I remember watching Lost in Space when I was 8. So I found a couple of old episodes on YouTube of Lost in Space. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Dr. Smith character. Yeah.
Yeah.
Irritated me in exactly the same way and kept on asking me the question, why haven't you just left this fucker on some rock somewhere? Yeah. So
what they're trying to do, it's not the fact, it's not even the character. She's just shit. It's not the character that's shit.
I don't think she's shit.
She irritates the fuck out of me. And it's more than that. It's the actress as well. And a lot of reviews agree. They say that her performance is rubbish. And it is.
No, I don't
think it is.
Okay, explain to me why you think her performance is rubbish.
She just irritates me. I don't buy it.
The Dr. Smith character is irritating.
She's not Dr. Smith. It's another one of the part of it irritates me is because they've changed it to a woman for no fucking reason at all, because there are already three very strong feminine characters in this. There was no need for it.
I think she makes more. She's more. How can I put it? The changing the Smith character to a woman makes more sense than you think when you go back and you look at Dr. Smith as a character. The reason I say this is the actor, I can't remember his name, I did an interview, and he turned around and he said, I played the Dr. Smith character in the first couple of episodes as a sinister saboteur who was trying to pull them off course.
Yeah.
And then he realized that there was no way they were going to keep the character around. So he then played it a bit more camp, and he played it a bit more cowardly and a bit more like that, yeah? Now, he was supposed to be like a manipulator and stuff, yeah?
Yeah.
And I hate to tell you, women are better at the manipulation than men.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why I think that she fits better. Yeah. It's because you have an assumption.
She irritates me, and I don't. It's not an irritation of the character, it's an irritation of the actress. And look, part of it is her fucking name. It really bugs me. But I just don't think it's good. Everything about it irritates me, and I can't put my finger on it. But the hair irritates me, the actress herself irritates me, and I don't.
Now hang on a second. Are you irritated, or do you hate her?
It's not that I even hate her. I just
because if you hate her, then she's doing her job right.
It's not
because
a hate,
you're supposed
it.
To hate
it's,
that
it's,
character.
It's the same fucking irritation I had from that bloody woman in Merlin. It's the same thing.
Okay. All right. I thought she worked. I thought she worked. Considering I knew how the other Dr. Smith character was, I figured that she was a good fit for that, that kind of person.
In the final episode where she saves the dad, that is a direct reference to what Smith does in the original series when he goes back in time. And has an opportunity to get off the ship and doesn't, because it would kill the dad in that. And he grows to care for them. And it's exactly the same thing in this, but it didn't fit. Her doing that did not fit for me. Her doing that, because she was just a... She wasn't even the camp manipulator. She was just the character doesn't work for me. The rest of the show works. The rest of the show is brilliant, except the structure. Again, I still have issues with the structure. Yeah.
No, I thought the structure worked. I thought it was nice to find out that you had the twist at the end that they had stolen the engine off of an alien spaceship. And that's the reason why
you
all of a sudden humanity can go fucking to the stars.
But you could have done
that. Stole it.
you could have done that with the with it being exactly what I said last week. That would have fitted without the flashbacks. That would have still worked.
How?
Because you would have seen the head. You could have had that scene right at the beginning and then just left it in there and then and left it as like an untied end until the final episode. And then you could have potentially, you know, I would have treated the, if it was me directing it, I wouldn't have done, but you could have put a flashback there to that scene in the first episode kind of thing. And then you see that hair on the alien ship. You didn't need a flashback in that final episode to make that whole twist work. That would have worked doing it the other way. In fact, it potentially could have been better because it could have been this unanswered question all the way through, what was behind the door kind of thing. And it could have left you guessing throughout the entire season.
Yeah, well, no, because they needed to set that up. And again, if they were to do that, then they would do what Lost did, yeah, where they strung out fucking mysteries way too long. And I don't like that.
Because they would have strung out a mission across the thing. I am bored of this flashback thing. I wanted a proper origin of it. And I think you could have fitted that more. And the thing, what really irritated me is they took until the fucking final episode to explain why one of the daughters doesn't look like the rest of them. And it was kind of like, are you actually going to ignore this?
I felt that that made sense. The reason I felt that made sense was because you had the dad, John, yeah? And he hadn't had time to stop, yeah? He hadn't had time to stop. He hadn't had time to have a conversation with anyone outside his own family. And when he does have time to stop, and he did have time to have a conversation with someone outside his own family, he explained because he knew that this person was... He knew the family, and he knows that that person in his head is going, you've got a black daughter. Is that your daughter or your wife's daughter? Yeah? And he answered the question, and I'm glad they did it, and it kind of... And the way they put it in, I felt added up.
Yeah, but I was genuinely sitting there until the final episode going, are they really going to fucking ignore this? I mean, seriously, is this some PC bullshit that we're not allowed to go,
Excuse me? No offense. Not right here.
But she's back.
I'm glad they did. No, I'm fine. I'm fine with that. That was fine by me. Certain things you can get irritated by, but that's just, you know, one thing. I like the Don West character.
Yeah, I do as well.
He's good because he's a bit mercenary. He's more like Han Solo than any other character I can think of.
I love the chicken. I love the connection to the chicken. This is very funny.
Yes, I love that. That was good too. But yeah, him and the dad when they went up into space so they could work out how much stuff they needed to burn in order to make orbit, and then you saw him explode. And I was like, shit, they can't kill the dad. And I was thinking, are they going to do time travel shit now? Are they going to do time? Because they haven't put anything in. There's no indications that they can do any time travel shit now. But they didn't, which was good because they got blown out into space and they were just strapped to a fucking lump of spaceship as they were orbiting the planet, which was good.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I liked the twist. I liked the whole, the twist and the thing and the putting together. Because they did have one thing. They did have one mystery stretching out right to the end, which was the Christmas star. And you realise that the Christmas star was actually a crashed alien spaceship. But then you're going, hang on a second. How is it basically making life on Earth so difficult? There was no explanation to that.
That may come at a later date.
Well, it needs to. Because there are a lot of... By doing this flashback thing, and they didn't do so many... I would have preferred an episode at the beginning building up to the thing.
No, storyline-wise, that wouldn't work. You need to... When you're telling a story, you need to go in there and set the tone. And the first episode went in there and set the tone. Now, I've got a problem with the way they wrote the mum character. Yeah, the mum character is a good character if they would have removed some of the stupid shit. Yeah, it's like kind of, she has an argument with the dad and she goes, oh, I'm in charge. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Next step, a couple of episodes later, she finds out that the nearest sun, which is orbiting a black hole, which is going to fuck them up, and she says, why don't you tell them? To which dad's like, I'm not going to... Very politely, very diplomatically, says, doesn't say no, but insinuates, no, I'm dealing with something else. Because it's like, no, sorry, love, you're in charge. That's what someone in charge has to do.
That's a character flaw rather than a...
then yeah, but no, it was that's just this, and then there's the bit with the watch where Penny goes to buy the watch in the flashback. I know you don't like the flashback bits, but she goes to buy the watch and then she turns around and goes, "Is this easy to return?" Yeah. And then the reason that she got fucked off with John is the fact that she married a career soldier who wanted to go out back on deployment because he's a career soldier. And career soldiers tend to sign up for deployment
again,
rather than volunteer.
Again, that stupid, irritating shit, but that is part of a character. And it kind of explains her character a fair bit because she does. But
they can remove those bits and make her a nicer character. They don't need that unnecessary conflict. The conflict in the environment.
I thought that actually made her character more in some ways because it showed her had some vulnerabilities. It showed her she had some insecurities. She didn't want her daughter to be hurt, so she was asking if she could return the watch. That wasn't being nasty.
Did you notice something in the show? Whenever the dad told the children to do something, they jumped to it. Yeah?
Yeah.
Whenever the mum told them to do something, they go,
Because the mum's a bit of a hard ass. The mum's a bit of a hard ass. But you find out why she's being such a hard ass, because she's trying to protect her family. I mean, there's that bit where she's pushing John in, I think, either the 8th or 9th episode where they're preparing to initially go off to do this dodgy launch, and he keeps failing, and she's pushing him and pushing him and pushing him, and the kids are looking at her, and you're thinking, God, what a hard ass bitch. And then there's that scene where John dismisses the kids and turns to her, and she breaks down, and I thought that's a really powerful moment because she shows her vulnerability, she shows her feelings and how much she loves the husband. She doesn't want him to die and she's so scared. And it all comes flooding out of her in that scene. I thought that was a fantastic scene because it really did explain her. I quite like her character. She irritates me at times, but I think she does that in a good way. Go on.
If you strip those bits out, I would really like that character. She's a real good person outside those bits. And I think they've kind of spoiled it.
I don't think you're entirely meant to like any of them. They're all flawed. They are all human.
Yeah, no, there's being flawed and then there's being unlikable. And this is the thing that Hollywood doesn't seem to understand. You can have these flaws and stuff in there. But I felt that was just a bit unnecessary baggage. I did like it when she was going through the... she was looking through the crew roster and it's like, who's got the best recovery time? It's you, John. You've got the best recovery time. And it's like, he's a career soldier. He spends most of his time combat fitness, in combat fitness zone. He's going to have the best recovery time. And then they had found out that he couldn't do all and they had to put John up there. I did enjoy that. There were some other stupid bits, like when they dropped the robot in the cave.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were got attacked by a monster. Not one of them turned around and said, when they dropped it off in the cave, what happens if that fucking monster comes back?
But they're kids. But yeah, I know what you mean.
But the kids, it was good. I did like the fact that the kids, as I said, a good child actor.
Yeah.
Doesn't irritate me.
No, they weren't irritating.
And it was good. They weren't irritating. And it was like, okay, good. I like the fact that Will isn't supposed to be a super genius like he is in the original series. I like that. I really appreciate that fact.
He's pretty clever. I mean, he figures out the biomass and realizes that they can use that to convert to fuel. I thought that was quite.
Hold on a second. He didn't figure that out. The robot figured that out, and the robot was trying to tell him. And then he figured out that the robot was trying to tell him that we can use this for fuel because we were talking about fuel, and you handed me a rock, and it was poop.
I missed that. I forgot that. You're right.
Yeah,
but I did
That's what he did.
I like the show. I do, and I really want a second season of it. Being a complete geek, I wish they'd explain more of the technology of the Jupiters. I think I've worked out what they're meant to be, but there's no direct explanation. You know,
they're Winnebagoes in space, mate. Yeah, but that's what they are.
This is 30 years in the future, right? Hold on a second.
They're a Winnebago in space. Know how on a Winnebago you can put those poles out so you can put like a tent outside it? Yes, they've even got that shit on it.
Hang on, right. Something that shape, how does it take off and fly? Okay, it's physically flying. How has it been kept upright? Because there doesn't seem to be any
Sorry, this is, I'm going into uber geek nerd territory here. Sorry. But how does the fucking thing stay up? Because you've got, initially when it takes off, it's got those vertical thrusters, but then those thrusters move up like a Harrier jump jet. Then how does the thing stay up? Because it doesn't look very aerodynamic. So how is the thing stay up?
A Winnebago with wings.
I kind of figured out that I think it's using a version of the Sabre engine that's currently being developed, which is effectively an air-breathing jet, rocket-stroke jet engine. And you know, in 30 years' time, we're going to have that technology. So, you know, that kind of figures. And the fact that they stole this alien warp drive kind of explains how a ship can go from Earth to Alpha Centauri and back again, because John makes
no.
It
hang on a second. The Jupiter modules do not.
No, but the big ship did. So then my other question was, hang on, how have they developed that kind of technology in 30 years?
They haven't. They stole it from fucking aliens. Yes, exactly.
So they answered that question. Is what I'm getting at. So they answered the question because I was sitting there throughout going, hang on. He mentions the comment. He's been to Alpha Centauri like 3 or 4 times. You're like, how the fuck have they gone between Earth and Alpha Centauri 4 times already? And then there's that explanation, but they still don't explain to me, and I would like that explanation of what the fuck is, what kind of technology is going on in those ships to make them take off like that. That's all.
Okay. It doesn't matter now because the alien engine is now integrated itself.
We know that because it then got sucked into a wormhole, which had to happen because, you know, and we don't want them
found. Be lost in space.
Yeah, season 2 will then be called Found in Space.
Found in Space! Not as interesting.
It's all right, we know the way to Alpha Centauri now. Although the other ship, just to finish it off, that other ship is in a different galaxy as well. So they're lost in space still. They haven't figured out how to use a wormhole or have.
Now, hang on a second. I don't know because I think it was they fired the engines and then created a wormhole.
Yeah, so I think they're just using it to go faster than light, or they're using it.
No, I think they were using it incorrectly to go faster than light. I think that it generates wormholes because I think that wormhole that sucked them in at the beginning was from its own engines.
Well, yeah, but is that something they weren't aware it could do? Is it a wormhole stroke warp drive kind
of thing? I think it's like the impulse drive on the Enterprise. The impulse drive will get you places faster than you would with just thrusters, but the warp drive will get you faster to stars.
Okay, fair enough.
Does that make sense? Anyway, Far Cry 5. I completed Far Cry 5.
Congratulations. How long did that take you?
I don't know. I was fucking around a lot before I completed it because I thought I knew what the ending would be and I fucking called it. Got to the end and you go up against, Joseph or John C. And you go up against him and he's in his church and he's drugged all your fucking mates to attack you. So with some strategic kneecapping, I managed to save all my friends. Yeah, seriously, it was like kind of, I was like, crap, switched to my pistol, pew, in the knee, pew, in the knee, pew, in the knee. And I was just shooting all the fuckers in the knee because I thought if being shot in the kneecap will wake you up, I can then have them fight on my side. All right, so I got them fighting on my side. And then I managed to take down John C. I made a prediction last week that John C. was being a doomsday prepper cultish sort of person. Because he had a nuclear bomb, it got to the end of the game, you've arrested him, yeah, you're just about to cart him onto the thingy, you look out across the lake, and then, kaboom, a fucking mushroom cloud as big as you could possibly imagine. So you're like, shit, he detonated a nuke, because I thought he had the nuke and he was going to do it, so he detonated the nuke. I'm like, fuck. And then everyone's like, get in the car, we've got to get into the bunker. So you jump into the thing and you're driving along and you're trying to avoid all these fucking trees falling over and animals on fire running past you and whatnot. And you're trying to get to this bunker. And as you get into this bunker and you're about to do the old right turn down the road, a fucking second one goes off. Yeah? Another fucking mushroom cloud. I'm like, fuck. So then I'm pegging it towards the bunker and then number 3 goes off and then the car flips up and over. And then you get dragged out of the car and you see someone dragging you down to the bunker. And then you wake up and you're cuffed to a chair and you look down and the guy Dutch, who helps you out at the beginning, fucking dead. There's a fucking doornail on the floor. Turn around, and the leader of the cult, Joseph Seed, leans right over to him, and he said, "I was right." And you're like, fuck, and the game ends. I loved it. It was brilliant.
You did call that. You did say you think he has a nuke last week.
It felt like Fallout without the nuke part of it. Annoyingly, the way the game's set up, I can't go back and replay it because there's an option where he says, just leave us alone. And I'm wondering if you leave him alone, do you get to your bunker in time safely? And everything works out fine. But I can't tell, so I have to replay the whole fucking
game. Far Cry 4 had several different endings, didn't it?
It had three different endings in Far Cry 4.
Yeah.
It had the, you wait, and you do it. And then I think the other, then it was what faction it was. So you had the Iranian guy from Lost, someone else, all these people. And it's like picking the worst of a bad situation in that case. But it was really good. The gameplay was fun. I had good. The gunplay is a bit shit until you get the perks to make you better with the guns. Yeah, the guns feel a bit rattly and you don't feel very accurate with the fucking things. And the reason is that you need to pick up these perks. But you said that you were going to get Far Cry.
Yes.
So
I've ordered
it. Are you going to get Far Cry?
I got paid this week late. I went to the shop today and I went to the game shop and I was looking at it. It was just not there. So I'm sure he does get like the latest games in. So I was looking around and then he didn't have it. So I spoke to him in limited English and Thai. And he said he's getting them in next week. I said, can you keep me one? And he said, yes. And I wrote my number down and gave it to him. So as soon as he gets it in, I'm going to go and get it.
Awesome. Okay. Next thing, you wanted to talk a bit about the Avengers.
Well, just in the fact that
the Avengers pre-come before the ejaculation this Thursday.
Do you think this is going to outstrip every other film in takings? Do you think this is going to be the first film that's going to do $3 billion?
I'll tell you when I've seen it. I think it's going to do $1 billion easy.
I think it'll do $2 billion easy.
I don't know about $2 billion, but it'll do $1 billion easy worldwide.
Because they're badging this as like the ultimate Marvel movie. This is like the movie that brings all of them together. And you know, the first Avengers did amazingly well. I think this will beat the first Avengers movie. I just got a feeling it will.
Yeah, I think it's going to beat it because the second one was shite and the 2.5 we got in Captain America Civil War
was good.
Was really good.
And that was by the Russo brothers who have made Infinity War.
Yeah, I'm just hoping it's good. I really am. And there's bits like the Wolverine thing, which I think may be a possibility. And I can't wait. The thing is that my brothers are going to see it midnight on Wednesday. So as of midnight Wednesday, my phone is going to block my fucking brother's text messages. So I don't get any spoilers. Because I've got some ideas of what's going on, but I don't really know what's going on. And I know that they've looked at the comics and the source material. And they'll try and subvert it a bit. Not too much, but a bit. And it's going to be good. So I'm seeing it Thursday. I'm seeing it with a mate and a little one. So yeah, it's going to be good. So we'll be spoiling that for you next week, next week's podcast.
Yeah, next week's podcast. So basically, if you have not seen the Avengers, don't listen to this podcast because we're just going to be fucking talking about it and talking about it.
Spooge.
And spoil it. Yeah, we're spooging. We're going to be spooging over the film.
Spooge. Welcome to Spoogeville.
So, right, okay.
In true tradition, I probably won't be able to watch it for another week or two. So.
Yes, being the fastest man alive. I mean, the slowest man alive.
I mean, I only just watched yesterday. I watched Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Wow, nice. Oh, that's been out for over a year, man.
It's on Netflix, man.
No, it's not on Netflix. It's on Netflix in America, but not in the UK.
Are you sure? Because I watched it on... I think it is on UK Netflix now. You've been that long.
I searched for it before I went to Sky Cinema. I searched for it, couldn't find it, wasn't there. Same with Spider-Man Homecoming. I haven't seen that yet.
Okay.
But I plumped for Sky Cinema because it's only a tenner a month.
Extra. So, predictions. I think Captain America is going to die in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tony Stark will survive this one and die in the next one.
I think Tony Stark will die in this movie. Captain America will get away with it. But at the end of the movie, half the population of the entire universe are going to be wiped out in the click of a finger.
And you reckon then time travel, the next one is the time travel one that goes back and resets?
No, it's the very end of it, because I'll explain that they can do it and sort it out.
Because they're going to have the time stone.
Yeah.
So we know that time travel is possible. So do we think that Thanos is going to win? It's blatantly going to finish on the cliffhanger.
Yes, Thanos is going to win. That's the whole point of the fucking story. He's sitting there telling you in the trailer, because you've got to get used to the idea that you're going to lose in this film, Empire Strikes Back style.
You think it is an Empire Strikes Back, don't you?
Strikes Back, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. What is the reasoning they're not revealing the title for the next one? Is it going to be called, is it going to be called Avengers Back in Time or something really lame like that? But
no, I think they haven't come up with a decent
Avengers,
enough title.
Back to the Future 4.
It may be called Avengers Infinity Gauntlet.
So I think I know what they're doing. I think they're going to go back to... I think they're going to go back to around about the same time as Captain Marvel, because the rumour is she's not in this one, but the rumour is she is in the fourth one.
See, for me, Captain Marvel is the harbinger at the end of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because she's a terrible fucking comic book character. Sorry, she's a terrible comic book character. Just look at any of the recent stuff with Captain Marvel. She looks like a man. They draw her like a man. She's got no fucking boobs, square jaw, and a man's haircut. And
yeah, but Iron Man is now
war crimes. No, that's not Iron Man. That's Ironheart, and she's only a stand-in. There's a difference.
Yeah, but they've always stand-ins.
She's a Spider-Man. Stand-in.
Spider-Man wasn't Spider-Man for a year. It was fucking Doc Ock.
That was
for an
thing.
Entire
that was,
fucking
that was
year.
Being interesting. But anyway, can we talk about my favorite fucking TV program?
Yeah, go on then.
The Expanse is back. I watched the first episode at the gym while I was running. So I didn't enjoy it as much as I would, but fuck me, do I have missed this. This is the greatest fucking TV show in a long time, in a very fucking long time. And
yep.
I watched that first episode and dude, it's weird because that's halfway, that the beginning of the third series is halfway through the second book.
Yes.
Yeah. But it feels like they're kind of accelerating towards the end of the book.
Well,
so
they are,
like
they're not.
Four episodes in.
Because the next episode, not a lot of time passes. A lot happens, but not a lot of time passes.
Yeah.
In fact, in theory, you could argue about an hour. It's almost real time.
Okay. I'll save that, but we'll talk about it next week when we've got a bit more time, but... it's nice to see them. It's nice to see the fucking Razorback.
Yes.
Which was mentioned throughout the first series and a bit in the second series. That's fucking awesome. And to see the little globule, which will become the return of Miller.
Yeah.
That was left in the thingy because they were too busy to scale out all the proton.
Was that the first episode? Did you saw it still on the ship? It's still on the...
Yes. They were trying to tidy things up. They got interrupted by Naomi Nagata.
Yeah, but Naomi's just irritating me a bit. And when she was...
No, she's fucked. No, I think she fucked up in that episode. And you could see that she knew that she fucked up. And she was just trying to win people over. And she was getting frustrated because nothing she was doing was working. And everyone was pissed off at her. Especially the bit where... Holden turns around and goes, we're all going to Io. And it's like, okay, we're all going to Io. That's just, man. It's good. I like the fact that they were trying to clear all the proton molecule off the ship too. Because in the books, Miller comes back as a proton molecule ghost, but it's not. It's like a construct that the proton molecule is set up for Holden to interact with. And it's all because of... a lump of proto-molecule that's in the ship, which is allowing him to communicate to him. So I imagine at the end of that season, or halfway through the season, given the fact that the way it goes through the books, he's going to start seeing the ghost of Miller.
I think it might happen probably fourth or fifth episode. Going on.
Oh, we've got the other thing too. We've got a fucking awesome space battle with the Martian and Earth fleet outside Io, which is going to be awesome when they send out the fucking proto-molecule things and the stealth ships and whatnot. That's going to be, I'm looking forward to that, because the fucking space combat in that is just brilliant. It always puts a smile on my face when I watch it.
Because it's real.
And I can't. Yeah. Well, it's as real as we can imagine at this point in time.
It's scientifically supposedly accurate. I mean, there is quite, the next episode 2 is really good. There's quite a good little sort of battle in that. So.
Okay. All right. So me and Nige had a conversation this week, which Keith wasn't privy to. So naturally, we volunteered Keith for our special mystery.
And so Keith's all Keith, in.
And Keith's all in, yeah. He's completely in with us.
I'm married. I'm used to being volunteered for things.
Okay. All right. So I've got a feeling that YouTube is dying. Yeah. But we need to test, like scientists, with lab coats and pens in the top pocket. So we need to test to see if it is dying or it's not dying. And there's only one way we can do that. And that's have a competition. So, with the permission of Keith and Nigel, we're going to set up our own individual YouTube channels. And we're going to race to see who can get to 100 subscribers first. So I'm going to do a YouTube channel, Keith's going to do a YouTube channel, and Nigel's going to do a YouTube channel. And then what we'll do is, we've got a week to think about it, because I have some notes and stuff which we can go through. And then next week we'll announce what our YouTube channel will be about. And hopefully we'd have set it up so you can find us and then put the first video up sometime the week after. This is going to be interesting, because it's going to be competitive. Now, we've agreed that we can help each other technically, but not creatively. So if there are technical things you need to know from each other, we can share that. But if they're creative things, like, Keith, can you do me a logo? Keith goes, no, I can't do your logo. It's against the rules.
What I would say is, though, I think maybe we can help each other out on the description of our channels.
You mean the metadata?
More of the about.
Okay.
So just grammar and things like that, just to make sure that we don't.
Technically, talking about the grammar's the technical thing. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is the method that we're going to use. Yeah, we're going to employ a YouTube scorecard. And what we're going to do is we're going to list down about 10 to 15 things that we really enjoy. Okay. And then we're going to put on a scale of 1 to 5, how big these things are. Yeah. So we'll sit there and say, sci-fi, video games, Fallout 4, droning, football, The Expanse, for example. And we'll put down scores next to them. Yeah. And then what we'll do is we'll then look at it and check out to see how many people, and then we'll put a score next to it to see how many people are interested in these things from a rough guess. Yeah. And then how much we'd enjoy doing the top of those. And then the one that comes to the top, one of the top three, are going to be the one that we pick to do the channel across. And then when we've done that, just going through my notes, you can hear this rustling of paper. We're going to sit there and we're going to look at what we do for our videos. And then we're going to have a look at what other people do for their videos, but for videos in other genres. And we're going to steal the best ideas and use them for ourselves. Okay. And then we're going to use that. And then hopefully in our videos, we're going to tell a story or give a unique perspective or challenge an assumption or something to try and make those interesting. And I know Nigel's smiling at me because we both watched the same training video for creating YouTube videos. And they were the notes for it. So, and I had to tell Keith, that's what we learned from it. Yeah, you literally got a summary of what we learned from it. I can send you the videos to watch.
Yeah, the guy goes on and on for about 12 minutes per video. At least maybe 15, 16 minutes per video, just to say exactly what Gareth just said in less than a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll send the links in our Monkey Nut Punch email. All right. So if you can just pop in there and you can watch these things, just to give you an idea. So we've got a week to get our shit together before we put our channel out, and then we're going to put a video out after, and then we will update each other on our thingy. So it'll be like kind of I've had one fucking view, because I know me. Yeah, I will put the most amount of effort into it, and I'll make it look absolutely fucking brilliant and everything. Yeah. And then there'll be Keith, yeah? And all he'll do is just take his drone, just fly over his fucking neighborhood and go, upload. 1,000 views. How?
I hate to tell you that. I got about 400 views off me posting a video on YouTube saying, this is my problem, my Mavic Air, purely to show to DJI, and he's had 400 views. Go fucking figure.
Yes, go figure.
None of that fancy shit that you've been doing.
No.
None editing, of the flybys. No. And, yeah.
No. Anyway, that's what you're gonna hear from us next week. So we're gonna try this. It's gonna be fun. We're gonna have a laugh. We're gonna get fucked off. But it's gonna make interesting stories to have at the end of each podcast. So hopefully, you'll back your favourites. That's me, by the way. you'll back your favourites and try and support their channels and whatnot. And thank you guys. The podcast is growing at a really good rate. We're not to where we were podcast-wise. We're not to our 500 downloads per bloody podcast. But we're getting there, and it's you guys who are listening to us who are helping us get there. And I'm really happy, because every time I check my stats, it was like we got halfway through this month and we beat last month's stats. I was like, fuck yeah.
We got an email at the beginning of last month saying our stats were going to go down. They fucking went up.
Yeah, that's because they were doing the stats wrong.
Yeah, they said they were doing the stats wrong, yeah. Apparently. And now they're doing the stats right.
Now they're doing it right. We're like, oh, okay, so we were okay then. I've actually got it open. I can give you a quick...
No, we don't want to tell them people how popular are, because if you say, oh, we've got 5 listeners and we're all waxing lyrical about it, right? No. We've got more than 5 listeners, by the way.
Yeah, we have a lot more than 5 plus. We have, definitely have a lot more than 5 listeners.
Loads of downloads this month. It's about 100%, 150% over last year. Last week.
Last year.
Not last year. Week.
Fucking.
Can't hear me because I've got bloody headphones. No. Over last month.
About 150%. Yes, more of you have discovered us. Well, we think some of you might have discovered us this month. And then some people have. That we didn't know were listening are now listening, thanks to Podbeam sorting out their stats. So, yeah. Hi, guys.
Hello. Yes. Hello to you that we didn't know about. And hello to you who we did.
You sneaky buggers, you.
And if you subscribe to us on Podbeam where we can see you, we think you're fucking awesome, all of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though we haven't got many on Podbeam, but YouTube... iTunes is where we get most of our stuff from. So, and on that note, I think it's time we said goodbye, guys.
Yes, goodbye from me.
Goodbye for me.
And it's goodbye from me.
I actually waved.
We'll catch you.
Why did I?
Well, yes, you waved. It's a podcast. No one can see you waving. Your fuck where?
It's been a while. It has been a while.
Ta-da!
I was literally waving goodbye to you two.
He's gonna the minute we end the podcast, he's just gonna put the phone down. Like, where did Nigel go? It's only been a couple of weeks, mate.
It's only been a couple of weeks, and you've forgotten how it fucking works.
Yeah, I was lucky. I could
visual gap. Do you all the shit I give to Keith about fucking visual things on a podcast?
Be careful, because he could be screen capturing this shit, and this is going to be outtakes from our podcast as his fucking YouTube channel. Don't give him any fucking ideas.
Yeah. I've got a feeling my YouTube idea isn't really our podcast's demographic.
It's funny. Gareth might have predicted that.
Really? I never knew. But the trick is to do it. The thing is that I roughly know what these guys are going to do for podcasting.
I've got a feeling I know what Keith's
and we've all
do.
Got different ways of doing it. Yeah. But the only one that's going to suffer is me.
Why?
Because why?
Oh, because fuck off. You can just do an Ace of Combat review and that'll be it.
That's a good point, actually. I'm just going to review every Ace Combat game ever.
That's it.
Me playing Ace of Combat 1989. Thousand hits.
He would just call it the Ace Combat channel.
I can't fucking remember how many off. I don't know what our Ace Combat is. I think it's on the 30,000 for Ace Combat.
Fuck off.
Fucking one video. I just hit payday with one fucking video. The problem is, I think that when we did it, YouTube went, oh, you're an Ace Combat channel, I see.
No, actually, not
Ace Combat.
I can find out for you, actually. Well, I thought I could.
I'm just having a quick look now. Right, so, bye, guys, as we're fucking scrolling through the internet.
We were ending this podcast about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, well, you can cut it out when you want.
No,
mate.
I'm not cutting out. This shit is gold.
11K.
Right, okay.
Oh, this 11K. Is gold. 11K. Guess what number 3 on our list is, Keith?
Oh, don't.
Go on.
It's your mother flockers review.
What's number 2?
Triple X Tycoon Porn Industry Simulator.
That's the one where you fuckers ripped the piss out of me. Oh, come on.
1,900 people saw that one. And the great thing is, know the How to Talk Street with Alex.
Yeah.
The geezer one that he did for me.
That's number 4, isn't
that's,
it?
That's number 4 at 800 views.
Oh, fuck, right. Anyway, people, thank you for listening to our podcast this week. We'll catch you next week when we will be revealing our YouTube channels, I think. Maybe.
Yes.
Potentially.
Bye. Don't drone too much on here.
Yeah, I won't drone too much. Bye, guys.
Okay.
Thanks for downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Monkey Nut Punch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Monkey Nut Punch.